Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said some folks are so proud of themselves, they can strut sitting down. We appreciate this opportunity, a Bible study today. We're very glad that you're listening, and we hope that you'll tell others about our Bible Meditations program. All right, we return now to our study, and we began last week looking at the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul has called the elders from the church at Ephesus to Miletus, and there he talks to them about the things that they're going to be facing in the future and the fact that he was going to be leaving them. They no longer would have him to rely upon. He shortly must die. And so he's pointing out very clearly some final teachings that he wants to get in their hearts so that they'll know how to conduct themselves and do the right thing. Well, as we have that situation, Paul makes reference to the preaching that he has done when he was there with the church. And he made this very clear. I am free from the blood of all men. Now, freedom from their blood simply implied he had sounded warnings that need to be sounded in regard to their living and their living faithfully in their service to God. He worked as a watchman on the wall who would watch and would sound the trumpet if any danger was about to come. And so very clearly, he had done his job, he had done it well. What was it that he had done when he was with them? Well, Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all of the testimony or the counsel of God. In other words, I haven't kept back anything from you that you need. I have preached the Bible, preached the word unto you. Well, I believe that the resolve that Paul had ought to be the resolve of every preacher today. He ought to resolve in his heart to preach the word of God, not the ideas of men, for they render men's worship vain. In Matthew chapter 15, 8 and 9, Jesus said, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so Paul's resolve was not to teach the doctrines and commandments of men, but rather to proclaim the word of God. And so wherever Paul preached, he preached God's word, as God had revealed it unto him. Well, certainly the word dwelt in the man at that time. Men were inspired and went about preaching what God told them to say. However, later, as is in our situation, they had written down the things that God wanted us to know. And so the Bible is that revelation of God's will to mankind. If I'm true to the same principles that were held by Paul, then I'll be going about preaching the Bible, preaching the Word of God. Well, the question might come to mind, why is it that I would preach the Bible and nothing but the Bible, the Word of God? Well, first of all, we suggested to you last week the fact that the Bible is very clearly God's Word is a reason that we ought to preach nothing except the Word of God. Now, the Bible claims for itself to be the Word of God. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 that he was thankful for them because they received the word that they had heard of him, as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in them that believe. He didn't preach to them human opinion or man's wisdom, but rather preached the wisdom of God. And so they had received the word of God in just that way. They recognized it's God's word, and therefore it needs to be listened to. There are many evidences that the Bible is not just the book of man. Think about this for a minute. Could 40 men, separated by 1,600 years, separated by space and time, and men of different variety of jobs and work, could these men have sat down and written a book, each of them their own book, and when they got through with it, have the unity and the completeness that the Bible has? Is that possible? Let me ask you something. Take 40 men and assign them the subject of politics and allow them to write a book or a treatise on the subject of politics. And then we'll put it all together and see if it forms one book of harmony and unity. Well, you know as well as I do the confusion that would come from such a situation. Men can't do that. The only way they could do it is if God told them the things to say. And so, by inspiration, God told the men who wrote the Bible what he wanted them to write, and they are one book, a book of unity, a book that is not contradictory, and that contains God's will for mankind. Well, when we realize that then, we believe that the Bible is God's word, and the proof of it is in the unity that exists in the Word of God. Not only is that true, but the argument from fulfilled prophecy is a very strong argument in favor of the Bible being God's will. How could a person 750 years before an event tell about the event in detail? Well, men can't do that. In fact, some of the so-called psychics and some of those who are related to that kind of situation are proving daily that men have not that ability. It's certainly true that if they make it general enough, and maybe just make a general statement that applies to nothing in particular, they might come close to hitting it. But when it comes to a matter of saying a person is going to be born in a certain city at a certain time and in a certain way, and all of the things relating to that birth are given in detail, it takes God to do that ahead of time. And so the Bible, very obviously, is a book of fulfilled prophecy. Once in a while somebody says, you can't talk to an infidel about the Bible because he doesn't believe the Bible. Well, as a result of it, some people just lay their Bibles down. I'm not willing to do that. An infidel's going to have to explain to me the unity of the Bible and the fact that the Bible contains prophecies hundreds of years later that were fulfilled. How did it happen? You can't just say, I don't believe the Bible, and that's the end of it. You have to show how that could happen. Well, we appreciate talking with you today. I hope you'll listen again tomorrow. And remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.